Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here." That tells us that that mountain of the Transfiguration must have been a good place to be. An experience that Peter and the other disciples did not want to end. Any of you here ever had an experience like that? Have you ever been to a place like that? A place so good, good in the spiritual sense, that you just wanted to stay there, to never have it end? Have you? I know many of you have. You know, the Irish have an expression for that kind of place. It's called the place where the veil is thin. That veil that separates the sacred from the ordinary. From heaven, the veil that separates heaven and earth. A place where that veil becomes so thin that you could just almost see right through it to the other side. And I dare say, if there's anyone here who says they have not experienced such a place, you simply need to be more attentive. Because such places are all around us. Places where the veil is thin, quite often you'll find in places where you least expect them to be. I remember one time I had a long layover at the Atlanta airport. Something went wrong with the connecting flights, and I had several hours to kill. And so, wandering around, I see a sign that says chapel with an arrow. I said, "That's a good idea. Let me go visit the chapel at the Atlanta airport." I don't know if any of you have ever been there or not. If you have, you know what I mean when I say it is at the end of the line. It is at the very end of the very last term. As busy as that airport is, bustling with people, by the time you get to that end terminal and walk to the end of the hall where the chapel is, there are no people left. But you keep walking, and sure enough, there it is, last door on the right, a little sign that says chapel. And so you go in, and you don't expect much, and you don't get much. I mean, this is an interfaith chapel. If they put up any kind of symbol, they're bound to offend someone. So they put up nothing. There's just a table, some chairs, another literature corner on the side with, you know, King James Bible and Quran and so forth. And that's the chapel. But nonetheless, I sat down, and the prayer just came so easily. The veil was thin in that chapel. And at first I wondered, why, you know, this bland room. But then it struck me. This chapel is not on the way to anywhere. To go there, you have to intentionally want to go there. That means that people from all over the world went to this chapel for one and only one reason: to be with God and to pray. And you could feel it. The walls were soaked with their prayers, and the veil was thin. It was another time when I was in a bookstore, a Catholic bookstore in Glasgow, Scotland. And as it turns out, I got there just a couple of minutes before closing. My Ricey probably shouldn't have let me in. But he was very kind, very gracious. He said, come on in, spend as much time as you want. And again, it was kind of a disappointing bookstore. There were nothing there that you couldn't get any cheaper on Amazon. You know? It was just the same old books, the same old religious articles, nothing special. The store wasn't even all that pretty. The standard drop ceilings with fluorescent lights, industrial kind of carpeting on the floor, steel shelves for the books. But there was something about the place that I just didn't want to leave. And I felt kind of bad. This poor guy probably wants to go home, have dinner, be with his family and so forth. And there I am keeping him after hours. But you know, I just had to say to him, I don't know what it is about this place, but I just can't bring myself to leave. And he looked at me and he smiled, if ever there were a knowing smile, it's a knowing smile. And he said, let me tell you something about where you are. He said, for centuries, this part of Glasgow has been what's known as the Catholic part of the city. And in the aftermath of the Protestant Reformation several hundred years earlier, hundreds of Catholics were killed in this very part of town simply because they were Catholics. They were martyred for being Catholics. And he said, in fact, it's said that this is a very old building that way, even though you'd never know from the modern renovations. He said, this building, it's said that the very spot on which this bookstore now stands, a priest was hanged for saying Mass. Martyred for being a Catholic priest who dared to celebrate the Mass. The ground on which I was standing was holy ground, soaked with the blood of the martyrs. No one had to tell me. You simply knew. There are places like that everywhere. For many of you, maybe such a place is right here in this church or in our shrine, St. Matthew. But as good as it is to be in a place like that, you know you can't stay there. You have to move on. You have to leave. Because as Christians, life is not about remaining in a nice, safe, comfortable place, but to go. And with Jesus, the journey to our Calvary. You know, there are only three times in all the Gospels when we hear the voice of God the Father. The first, as you probably all know, is at the baptism of Jesus, where the heavens open and a voice from the clouds says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." The last time, the third time, we hear the voice of God the Father is in John's Gospel at the Last Supper, just before Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, when he prays to the Father that his name be now glorified. And again, the voice of the Father is heard saying, "I have glorified your name, and I will glorify it again." And then, the one other time, the second time, when we hear the voice of the Father, is in this account of the transfiguration that we heard today. The Father repeats the same thing he said at the baptism. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But this Father of so few words now directly addresses the disciples and us and says, "Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus." What have the disciples been doing but listening to Jesus all their time with him? Listening to his teachings, listening to his parables, witnessing his miracles. And yet, the command comes from the Father. Listen, listen. We live in an age of so much talking, so much noise. I think one of the biggest culprits, one of the biggest problems are these things. It makes it so hard. So hard to listen for the voice of God, which, when it comes, often comes as it did for the prophet Elijah in today's gospel. The Holy Spirit comes in a gentle breeze, in a whisper, the whisper of daily events. We're all trying to have our faith grow in this holy season of Lent. Our faith will never grow as we want it to unless we learn to listen. To listen to Jesus. To be quiet and listen for his voice. We have to stop giving God a laundry list of our prayer intentions. We have to stop complaining about how other people are behaving. We have to stop telling him what's wrong with his church. We have to stop telling him what's wrong with the world or with certain public figures. We have to stop talking, and we have to listen so he can speak to us in that gentle, quiet whisper that comes from within. In the Transfiguration, Jesus is not only glorified, but the Father teaches the disciples and us the essence of what it means to pray, to listen to Jesus. We see this especially in the life of the Blessed Mother. She listened so attentively to the Word of God that it literally became flesh within her. Jesus himself gives her the highest praise when he said she is blessed not because she bore him or because she nursed him, but because she heard the Word of God and kept it. She listened to that Word at every moment of her life and kept it in her heart. You know, there are some famous saints and others who have been known to have a transfiguration, a mountaintop experience. But, you know, this is not the normal way for most of us. We usually experience the glory of God as it appears in the smile of a person, a gentle smile, when we're going through a hard time. We see the glory of God in the self-giving sacrifice of the saints. We see the glory of God shine every time someone loves as Christ loves. Most of us will never see a dazzling light. As a matter of fact, more likely than not, we will see suffering. But the Transfiguration teaches us that whatever our circumstances, they can become gateways to heaven when viewed from a heavenly perspective. You know, the early church used to symbolize the Transfiguration, and in fact, some churches do today by having an adorned crucifix. They take a crucifix and adorn it with beautiful flowers and golden cloths around it. There's in that ancient city of Ravenna, Italy, there is a mosaic of the Transfiguration, which shows such a glorified cross with the face of Jesus in the middle, and that cross is set in a garden which represents heaven, paradise, to remind us that the heavenly mountain of the Transfiguration and the sorrowful mountain of Calvary become one when they're looked at from a heavenly perspective. A transfiguration will occur on this altar today. Heaven will touch down on earth right in this church. Literally, simple bread and wine will be transformed into the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of that same Jesus Christ whom the disciples saw on the mountain of the Transfiguration. And we can see it as such for what it is when we look at it from the perspective of heaven. We are one of the few, if not the only, parish in this area that offers all-day exposition of the Blessed Sacrament in our shrine chapel 3 days a week. I challenged you before, and again I challenge you today. Some of you took me up on that challenge and have told me of its fruits. For those of you who have not, I challenge you again today. Before Lent ends, this is week 2 of Lent, we still have several weeks to go. Find just a few minutes, only a few minutes from your precious schedule, and spend time before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. I can promise you, I can guarantee, I can promise you, in that shrine, when the sacrament is exposed, that not only is the veil thin, it's as thin as it ever gets. Try. Just a few minutes over the course of the next few weeks, you can do it. You know, the words of the gospel and the words of the church fathers are in unanimous agreement. St. John Damascene, a father of the church, said, Christ was transfigured not by acquiring what he was not, but by manifesting to his disciples what he in fact was. He opened the eyes and gave these blind men sight. The change was on the part of the disciples. You too can be transformed. Just a few minutes over the course of the next several weeks could change your life forever, as it did the disciples. The transfiguration experience need not take a long time. In many ways, this feast today, or this message of the Transfiguration, is inappropriately named. It's not Jesus who was transfigured. It was the disciples. They were given a glimpse, just a glimpse, if ever so briefly, of what Jesus is really like all the time. They saw him as he really exists, and it changed them forever. And the gospel ends by telling us that the disciples, when they raised their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. Is Matthew simply telling us that Moses and Elijah were no longer there? Or could he be perhaps telling us something more? Is he telling us that as those disciples came down that mountain, they were so changed that they saw the world in a whole new way? They were transfigured. They saw Jesus alone. Just a few minutes. Just a few minutes before the Blessed Sacrament can change you too. Try it. Ask those who have tried it. You too can see the world in a whole new way. Wherever you go, whoever you see, whoever you meet, you see nothing but Jesus alone. Jesus alone. Just Jesus. Only.